So, after being like rudely interrupted through the evening and being heroes, you all sleep through the rest of the night unhindered. Sleep through the rest of the night. You all awaken in the morning to a perfectly fine mid-spring, maybe, day in the city, the capital city of Storm's Fall. You've been an invitation to have tea with the Lord Arcanist and the King, possibly unbeknownst to the King, this afternoon, in the early afternoon, around tea time, if you will. Till then, is there anything that you guys would like to do before moving into this opportunity? You have half a day.
Prepare my spells for the day.
Yes, that would be good.
was the Vandra kicked out that night, or was she allowed to stay and then to depart in the morning?
As you guys were like heading out of her room, it looked like she was staying the rest of the night and making herself scarce early the next morning. You do not see her as you all enter the common room or the bar and common room area.
Was her room still open? Like when I walked by?
You could try the door as you walk by. It's unlocked. There appears to be no one inside. There is also the chalk circle and arcane markings have been smudged, but not like it's not like cleaned yet, so it's not completely removed.
Can I try to search for anything else you might have possibly left behind?
Yeah, make an investigation check.
That's a 12.
Searching around the room, it looks like a hotel room that somebody slept in. There's nothing overly out of the ordinary. There's some things in the trash. You don't pick up on anything unusual.
Okay.
At least in your investigation of the room.
I don't think there's anything I need to do.
Nothing you need to do? All right. Mm. Nothing for Zixel. Alphonse, anything that you need to do this morning?
No.
Just munch on some breakfast.
Okay, you do have a delicious breakfast of pork sausage.
Well, maybe Zixel asks if I could check with Olsen to see if like he's, because he had a kind of a rough night himself, just see if he's doing okay.
Yeah, Olsen, he says, yeah, I'm all right. Evandra is just worn out her welcome recently. I don't know what's gotten into her. And you would know this. You've seen her around a little in your tenure here. She's a little bit of a drifter. Like, she comes in, she's not like a regular member of the like inn, like somebody that you would see like on a daily or like weekly basis. Like, she rolls in every few months and like in and out, and she's always like off on some adventure or something. But you've probably seen her at least like twice, maybe, in your time here. She says, yes, this last time she was here, she's just become too much trouble. It's unfortunate, so I just... You know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a... You get the vibe that, like...
Like a little annoyed.
He's a little annoyed, but it's kind of like... Everybody has that, like, one friend who really, like... pushes their luck with, like, the friend group kind of thing. Like... They're like, yeah, I'm totally like a cool person in this group, so I'm gonna be like really annoying, or like I'm gonna push the boundaries on this, or I'm gonna bum off of my friends like way too often. Like, she kind of hit like that like third strike with Olsen. He seems as much like hurt, or he even seems more hurt than angry, like in discussing it with you. Not okay. Like he is. In a way, a little bit of a father figure around for the, like, because he's a little bit older, but he's not like old. But the Laughing Cat, it draws a specific type of person. Type of person who does not have others. And when you get groups of people, you get that kind of found family, and that's what you've encountered here and what many others have encountered here. And it's a little bit of a safe haven for those who don't have anyone else. And you know, when like your dad's like, "Not mad, son, I'm just disappointed." That's kind of like the worst feeling in the world. And that's about like you're getting like that vibe like secondhand right now. It's like, mm-hmm. Man. And you know, for like Olsen is one of the most patient people you've ever met, and just is like it's kindness and welcomeness and patience for him, and to go beyond to that straw, like rough.
Yeah.
Okay. If we've decided we don't have anything else we want to do, we don't want to run around and do shopping, try and find something to buy, try and find something to sell. I do believe, Ilkal, your tribe is leaving today, or they left yesterday. I don't remember if you said goodbye.
I don't either.
I think they were, tonight was like their last, like, so we were there to party when we got back, and then the next day is when they were going to start packing up, mm-hmm. which was yesterday, right? So
yeah, so maybe they would be leaving today.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'll go say bye to them then.
And okay, where are we meeting for tea? The Arcanist Tower?
Yeah, he requested that you meet at the tower, and then he would be like your escort to the palace.
Okay, yeah, so as long as we make it back there in time. Yeah.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. we have time.
Yeah.
Cool. His yeah.
Time is like what, 1 o'clock or something like that?
Yeah, it's early afternoon. It's yeah. Post lunch, so.
Yeah, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock.
Yeah, so you all head out of town. But yeah, you head out of the Western Gate, and surprisingly efficient are the Goliaths, is something you know. Like, they would be probably pretty difficult to track through the wilderness, even though there is an entire tribe of Goliaths, even just outside of this gate where they've been staying for, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 weeks almost. As they, where you see they begin to pack up, places where cook fires have been are covered, and it looks like there's been like left no trace. It looks like dusty now instead of like people have been like living here. You see a few things of like tents and dwellings being packed up, and you see like kind of the efficiency of how everything kind of comes together to be carried and taken on the move. There even appears to be like some like hierarchy of like management happening. Like you can kind of see the chief passing through the different like ranks and checking with like captains of like groups of people, and there's like, do you have these families taken care of? Have you moved on? Are we all packed up over here? What's the thing? And what's going on over here? And as you come into town, Ilkal, your family is pretty much packed up. Your mother and your sisters are they're doing like the finishing touches on things, like the dwelling has been taken down and assembled for travel, and packs have been packed, and they're going about assisting like other families in like the general vicinity of where they were. Your mother notes the approach of the four of you, her single arm being a little less useful. She's doing a little bit more of like mid-level managing than like hand-on work. And she looks in and she goes, "Good call.
We're glad you came to see you, Mother. Of course.
It's good to see you. I think we are almost packed up here. And it's going to be a long walk, but it's my feet have begun itching, if you know what I mean.
It will be good for you to be on the road again. I want to hand her 2 platinum pieces. I'm going to say, just in case you need them emergency fund or just in case.
Of course. Thank you, my son. And she like looks over like at one of your sisters and says, leave that be. We don't need that. Come on now. And just like the like mother matronly like tittering about something or other or something being incorrectly strapped or you know, like how obsessive compulsive mothers can be. She embraces you and says where Chief Maddock is, said they're gonna head for the like first like settlement of the season. You knowing your family and your tribe, it's instead of like taking like the regular like route to where you would normally be this time of year, they're taking kind of like a cut through, kind of just like a shortcut. They want to be at a certain place and they're not gonna take the long way. They're not gonna like march all the way around to get there. They're gonna go overland in a way that they've not usually done so, kind of thing.
I guess I want to talk to my sisters too.
Okay. Which sister you talk to first?
Probably Orima. Is that how I said her name before? Orima? Yes.
Orima. Okay. And
Ilithea.
Ilithea, yes. Orima. Orima is, I do believe, how you said it. Okay. Orima. Orima, who is the eldest, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ilithea. Yes?
I just wanted to say goodbye before you head out. Hopefully I will be back to the mountains soon enough. But it's good to see you.
It's so good to see you, as always, brother. We wish you would come with us, but we know how you are. Is there anything else? Okay. And Ilithea, too? Brother! She just like latches into like a big hug.
Sister,
how's it going?
Travel safe. I hope I will see the tribe again soon. It's been good to see you, even though the circumstances were not good.
This is true. I am glad to be going, but also it was a lot of fun here too. I can see why you enjoyed the traveling yourself.
The cities are a lot, but they're fun.
I think I'm going to miss the tavern.
Me too, sister.
Yes. One second, I have a gift as well. And she reaches into like a pouch and unrolls. It's like a strip of parchment. It's about four fingers wide, four of your fingers wide, which is fairly wide, and a couple hands width. It's like a little small scroll, and she unrolls it and she goes, I think this is what you should add for the next one. And it is a etched sketch. It is a sketched tribal design of It's like a lengthwise dragon, but there's a hard break between the head and the body to some extent. And she like holds it up to your arm and she says, I think it will go well here.
Sister, this is some of your finest work. I thank you. Does she have weapons?
Yes, she actually carries two hand axes.
Okay.
So she actually dual wields, like if like in a fight. She's a little more of a dexterous fighter than you. Growing up, like as you both hit puberty, she shot up like really fast and she was bigger than you for a period of time and really gave you shit for it. And then you grew steadily until your age now and eventually passed her. But she's always been she's been like always been like a little bit faster and a little more lethal than you, But in terms of brute force, could not compete with you on that element. So she does carry a couple hand axes that she keeps, like one on each hip, and she's pretty lethal with them.
I was just looking through my inventory to see if there's anything I can give her. There's not.
Yeah, and then Arima actually takes after your mother a little bit and has some talent. It's like very minor though, like not like, like, yeah, there's like wizards, and then there's like not wizards, and then there's like your mom just in the not wizards category, and then like Arima is like she can do a couple cantrips and stuff, but she's way more like knowledgeable in terms of like plants and animal anatomy and everything along those lines.
Thank you for this, sister. I cannot wait to get it tattooed.
You'll have to show me next time we see each other.
Of course. Travel safe, Ilithea.
Of course. And she says, and she looks at the other three of you and she says, I have one for each of you as well. And she holds out, again, it's these little scrolls, like unrolling it a little bit. It's not like a lengthy one like Illa calls. It is kind of like a small square patch. It looks like a mountainscape to some extent, with a little bit of like giant text on it. So it's very minimalist also. It's kind of
2014
like
Pinterest.
It's like the mix of like the art you see with a haiku, kinda, and like tribal markings, or something that would be considered kind of tribal, but it appears to be of a mountain and mountainscape.
What does this text say?
Ilkol could probably tell you what it means. Or if you like really investigate, it'll call might have something similar. Who knows?
If he asks, I'll tell him what it says.
Do you want to decide what it means, or do you want me to DM to say what it means?
I want you to say what Ilithea said it meant or wrote.
Okay, it is a marking that is very similar to like the marking of the Verdofuel clan's like imagery, and the in giant is so Illicol probably has a tattoo that literally says family, and this is one that says family, but it's not family in terms of blood. It is family in terms of like found family, like if a Goliath member from another tribe like marries in, they end up with a marking that looks like this. So you could have this tattooed, and technically you would look like one of the family.
Can I suggest something? Ass tattoo.
Sorry, you cut out. Ass tattoo. All I heard was ass tattoo.
I think that's all.
I think
she said.
That's it. I think she said, "Can I suggest something?" Ass tattoo.
End of sentence.
Thank you for coming to my TED talk.
Well, Ilkol has like these large tattoos that kind of cover portions of his body. They obviously like they flow into one another and flow out, and there's obviously like some sort of story being told. You can actually like in seeing like the glyphs you've been given, you can kind of even see, like looking at Illicol, you can see now with some more evidence that each of these things is individually something as well as part of a whole tale. And then in looking at the other Goliaths, you start to notice, everyone kind of has this. What's going on? And it looks like it's still fairly early. They look like they're ready to go on the way. And to see an entire tribe of Goliaths exiting is a pretty interesting sight as well.
Would Illical have any interest with speaking with his uncle? Or just family?
Not particularly.
Yeah. Okay.
I already gave him my money. Talked to him before.
Okay. Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yesterday. Yeah.
You've already paid off your uncle.
Take the cannoli. It's a Godfather reference, Theo.
I understood that it was one, even if I didn't get it.
Wow.
I'm learning.
Proud.
Yeah, but that's taken care of. So now I assume you all are gonna bebop around town until tea time.
Suppose so.
Yes. Head shakes. Yes.
If we're killing time, I wouldn't mind popping by the bank, getting out a little bit more money.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to make a thing
of
it. just tell you.
As you stop by, you've not been to the bank in Storm's Fall yet. So as you you ask around, and it's pretty easy to find. You're like, hey, those dwarves, take your money. Yep. Somebody's like, it's over there. It's actually, if you are looking directly at the palace, it's to the right. It's actually up against the cliff. It is just on the edge of the trade districts over there. But it's actually looks like it is, the building itself is set up against the cliff and looks like it potentially proceeds deeper into the cliff side.
Perfect place to put a bank. Just keep digging.
Yep. Hard to get to the vault when it's solid stone all around it. but yeah, so also they're dwarves. It's a thing. As you travel through town to get there, following just some brief directions every now and then, like if you have to stop and ask with them, it's right there. You do come up to it and you realize, you see the symbol of the sacks of coin and the dwarven etched runes. And this is a significantly larger bank than the one in Westfork. This is the hub of Northern Reaches, the banking hub. It even looks slightly like a castle. Like, it is fortressy in and of itself, I should say. So you enter in through a set of dual iron doors. They're probably 8 feet tall. Easily clearing, maybe 9 feet tall, easily clearing Illical's head. But they swing on grease hinges, just but you gotta lean into them to get it open. Yeah, so even from the outside, it looks like a fortress. You enter. The door swings easily on its hinges, although it is heavy. It has a lot of mass. And as you enter, it is a... It looks like a bank. It's a large room. There are a few stone tables around. There are definitely some security guards. There is a desk at the other side of this entry hall. If you look up at the ceiling, you can note a bunch of different art pieces. No windows. Other than, I guess there would be four windows on the facade on the front, but they're not see-through. But it's so it lets light in, but it tints it completely yellow, even. So where sunlight is sunlight colored, this even in here is everything kind of glows with a yellowy color, or a lot more yellow than morning sunlight, at
very,
least
gaudy in here. Sounds cool.
Is everything in here, the tables, the desks are carved straight from the stone. So there's no moving these tables. They're not embedded in the floor. They and the floor are the same stone. It is just pristinely carved out of it though. And there are a few, there are three or four tellers and a couple individuals. There's probably half a dozen people in here making some exchanges, various races. There's a dwarf, there's a couple of humans, and you even see a blue tiefling in line. but it's like pick a line, wait in line at the bank kind of thing. Eventually your turn comes up. You are met with a young dwarven individual. I don't want to say very young, but like for like a businessman, like very young. Like this guy might be like 17 or 18. And he goes, "Hello. How can I help you?"
"Good morning. I would like to make a withdrawal."
"A withdrawal? Oh, okay. How much would you like to withdraw?"
"I would like to withdraw 146 gold pieces, 7 silver pieces, and 5 copper pieces."
"Okay. Could I see your certificate of claim, please?"
"Line it over."
"Oh, West Fork. My cousin works there."
"I wonder if if I dealt with your cousin."
"He says, technically we're all cousins." "At least in our clan." He takes it, he looks it over. After some examination of it, that you don't know what's going on, he keeps your claim slip and writes a new one for us, like that amount less. Mm-hmm. And it gives it a stamp. He says, he slides it over to you. He goes, "I'll be back with the money momentarily."
"Thank you."
And he walks back to the back wall. There's another one, and through a little bit of like he opens a few different drawers and stuff, and he comes back and he sets down on the table across from you. There's even like it appears he has like rolls of coins. He sets down one roll. How much did you say? 143 gold pieces?
6.
146 gold pieces. He actually sets down 2 rolls of coins, like in paper, and counts out the he says, "These are each 50, and he has 46 that he counts out for you, and the whatever else. And then so you have a claim slip for the remaining deposit and cash for the rest.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I hope you have a good day.
You as well." That's all I need.
Okay, so you pass the rest of the time in the city. It is actually like it is a very spring-like day today. The weather is it's not hot, but it's not cold. It's probably like, I don't know, like 22. Was that like a reasonable temperature? I don't know, like Celsius.
It's a bit warm for early spring.
Mm-hmm. Oh, days. Yeah, for early spring? Yeah.
Yeah, but is it like
18?
18.
Maybe a brisk 14.
Yeah,
nice. 14. 16 would be nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a nice day. You don't need a jacket.
Hey, you brought it up.
You threw out the temperature, so and you asked us if that was correct. We're just telling you.
Then you just
Canadian did all up for
the
you.
The number just kept getting bitted down too.
That's yeah, the it's early like, spring.
Yeah, but it's not. The weather's all messed up.
22 would be like a lot though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, it's just like fucking Celsius.
None of these numbers make sense. Passing the time, I was gonna describe some random downtime events of like there's a juggler in the market square and he is juggling 7 daggers.
Wow.
I would like to out juggle him.
Oh. You need 6 more daggers.
I'll lend you one.
Need 5 more daggers.
Zixil?
I got 2.
You need 3 more daggers.
Theo, give me your greatsword.
Oh my god.
I will. I have hand axes.
That would be impressive.
I have 2 hand axes you could juggle.
Yeah.
I low-key want to give it a try.
You can.
I'll give them to you. Sure. I used to have more, but I think I sold them.
Okay, in an attempt to show up the professional juggler, our dear friend Ronald collects from the group as many weapons as possible. Staff, make an acrobatics check.
Zixel is very like, "Are you guys, is this a normal thing?"
"This is an
it's
everyday
not,
occurrence.
Not normal.
Not doing drugs. We're having fun. We're not doing drugs. It's a good time." What is it?
That is a 15 plus a 7.
22?
What?
Yeah.
15 plus 7.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty good.
That's how math works.
Yeah, very, very impressively, you somehow managed to get all of them in the air, and then you panic as they all start coming down, and you're like, these are bladed weapons, these are bladed weapons, these are bladed weapons. And in that moment of panic, your adrenaline, does Pilot have adrenaline? Who knows? Spikes, and it seems like time slows down. For you all watching, you see, as all of the weapons go up in the air, and then Pilot looking up at them, and then as Pilot just quickly like scrambles, suddenly they all end up back up in the air, and then suddenly Pilot is holding all of them, did not drop a single one.
Imagine being that performer, like some jackass just walks up to you and starts juggling more things.
Nothing you do for the rest of your career will ever make these people think what you're doing is impressive. Tomorrow he's going to come back with flaming daggers and he's going to kill himself accidentally.
Oh god. This is what you've done, Pilot.
I killed someone without even touching them. I call that a win.
I am a god.
It's like to viciously mock somebody to death. To kill them without touching them. But yeah, you successfully make two passes with the seven equipments that you managed to scrounge up amongst yourself and your three friends. I redistribute back to everybody. You're like, oh yeah. Wow, very nice, very nice.
I tip you cool. A silver piece.
You tip Pilot?
Yeah.
Nice. I'll tip the performer two copper.
Nice. He's very appreciative.
I'll give him two copper as well. I've got a very uneven number, and it's bothering me.
Oh yeah, I'm at 45 now.
Less upset.
Give the other juggler a gold piece.
Damn.
He is not angry at you at all.
Don't quit your day job, kid.
Yeah, so that becomes an interesting encounter. There is also a individual selling, it appears to be like a sugary, like they look like little clouds on sticks.
How much does the cotton candy cost?
It's actually called fairy floss, in fact. But oh yeah, it's only a copper piece.
Can I hand over a silver piece?
Yeah, that's 10.
Yes.
You want 10? They're not like enormous ones, they're like regular size. So,
can you get one in the size of 10?
Yeah, just a massive one.
Yeah. So what the person does is they're spinning them, and they give you a silver piece's worth. What they actually do, instead of 10 sticks, they do like 3, and instead of one big like enormous beehive worth of cotton candy, they actually spin it into. It's a mixture of balloon animals and cotton candy. They spin it, and it actually looks like, it's like a rock elemental. That's what it kind of looks like.
I love it.
And they like all look like that?
3 sticks. Well, it's one.
Yeah.
Big one that they've done. So they've done like little ones for everybody. That's like one copper piece. Your silver piece one is like, it's got like a head and a body and like two chunk arms, and it's got like 3 sticks to like hold it all together.
The child in front of you who just got theirs turned around and started screaming at their mother. Mom, I want that one. This is trash. And just throws it on the ground.
Could I enact a full scene of battle with the cotton candy?
Yes, but you have to do it while walking.
Yes.
Yeah, so as you're walking, oh gosh. Yeah. And like you're making it like it's a real make a performance check.
What's it fighting?
Performance is 18.
It's surprisingly entertaining as you guys are walking. Like, you're really getting into, like, it's kind of like when Stitch and Lilo and Stitch makes New York City out of all of the books and things and then attacks it like Godzilla. It's kind of like that. Like, you're getting a real vibe that, like, this kind of candy's like a rock elemental. And, like, you're like, oh, man, all right, let's go. Eventually, like, it ends up getting, like, it goes out like King Kong in the, like, 1940s King Kong movie. And it's like, oh, and then, like, Poe takes a huge bite out of it.
Nice.
And it ceases to exist.
Never a dull moment.
Alec's having a great time.
This is why we can't do a live session.
A live session would be great.
Utter chaos.
We'd have two whole viewers. It'd be perfect.
Continue on.
People leave.
Tea time quickly approaches. As time passes non-linearly. And you make your way to the Spark District, to the Arcanist Tower, where you are allowed entry. You actually have something that allows entry into the upper floors now, if I am correct.
I think he gave
it. Always am.
Yeah, it was a note. Assuming that wasn't a one-time use.
But as you, like, you go into the lobby and there is one of, like, the lower apprentices is manning, like, the almost desk in the main lobby. As you, like wave, you're like, hey, we're at up. You get to the door to the stairwell and Menelin and his apprentice. You guys asked, he asked about something else. Because his apprentice Clara was getting something. I think Claire was looking for your Kingswood stuff.
Yeah. The map through the Kingswood.
Yeah. So Menelin, like, as you guys are approaching the door just kind of flies open and Menelin is like headed out and he goes, oh, hello. It's good to see you again. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
How are we?
Good.
Time flies when you're having fun. I apologize. Apologies. This is Claire, my apprentice, and out from like kind of behind him, carrying like a series of like just paper, like a stack of parchments and scrolls and things, is a younger woman, significantly younger than Tamond, his other apprentice that you've met. So potentially she might be his youngest. She is not like much older than like Corin and Petark and everyone you've met.
Illicall is about Corin's age.
Yeah, so she's about your age, Illicall, then. She is not like Tamond is the apprentice to the Arcanist, and you've heard the name of the other apprentice, Cora. You know, like, they're quote unquote apprentices, like they're Padawans that just haven't taken the Jedi trials kind of thing. Like, they apprentice is a word, sure. She looks like a little bit flustered and she is dressed in a orange, kind of like a flowy shirt, brownish red like tights. She has a belt cinching this long shirt that appears to have like a bunch of different pouches and stuff on it. Like it like looks one part utility belt, one part component pouches, and tucked into one like loop on it is a wand of some sort. She has glasses with square rims that are like sitting like neatly on wire frames. And she's, oh, hello. It is it's a pleasure to meet you all. My name is Claire, yes. I assume you are Alphonse. I've heard a lot about you and Zixel, based on you being the Tabaxi, and that makes you Illicall, and that makes you Ronald. It's good to meet you all. I actually hear one
don't
of these,
that's
and
the
she
name
like
you gave.
Who knows? Beth doesn't even know.
It's a pleasure to make your acquaintance.
I have something for you. And she begins to shuffle through papers and scrolls and things. And there it is. And she pulls out a large... It's a single parchment. It's not like a scroll. From like the center of it, and she like pulls it out from the stack. All of the papers go everywhere. Just scattered. Just
okay.
Chaos.
Who's going for the meat cute?
There's a book and a and she goes, "Oh jeez."
She takes off her glasses and whips her hair a little bit.
She can't see without her glasses.
You stupid, Kay.
She was like, "Oh, well." Anyway, here, this is for you. This is it's a map of. It's a sort of a map. It's what we have of the Kingswood in the southeastern region, and where we've noticed major arcane movements. Of course, there is the towards the central. Mass of the Kingswood, she gestures at it. She says, there is this large fey activity through what we call the Great Tree. It's one of the like earliest trees in the forest, as far as we can tell. Some people have ventured there. Some people make pilgrimages there. It's a very, very large evergreen. And it appears to be much older than all the others. Naturalistically, of course. Magically, it's a very old tree. Yeah. But we've marked there are a few ley lines that run through the area that like we know of, and all kinds of stuff. There's a key in the bottom. That should help you somewhat in trying to find a passage or a portal of some sort.
Well, thank you. This will come in handy. We really appreciate that.
I hand her the papers that I gathered while she was talking.
Thank you. And she looks around at like the others, and she pulls out her wand, and she has like a flourish that looks like it's like three circles of the wand, and you all feel as some like wind picks up around your ankles. Like Alphonse, your robe billows at the like ankles a little bit, and you get a little bit of like an uprobe draft. It is kind of pleasant and a little awkward. Okay. Never worn a kilt. You don't know what it's like.
Bare shins under there.
He's got pants under the robe.
He's not wearing pants. It's just all of the papers kind of gather in like what appears to be like a whirling dervish, a small like wind tornado. All the papers gather in it. And the dervish seems to like have arms for a moment, and the papers kind of fly out of it and then stack neatly, and then she like takes all of the papers from what appears to be a conjured elemental in that quick moment, and she goes, "Thank you, that'll be all," and the air kind of disperses as it goes on its way. the wind disperses and it disperses, and you hear the entrance, like as you guys talk, the entrance opens and closes, like the wind left the room. And she goes, "All right, Master, I'm going to be back to my studies then, if that is okay with you. I know you're off to tea. Is there anything you need while I'm gone?" He goes, "Oh, of course not. We're gonna have tea, and I'll be back. I seem to have forgotten what I was going to do after lunch or after tea. If you could find that out for me, that would be wonderful." She goes, "Of course, Master." He goes, "To tea, though, shall we?"
"Yes."
"Wonderful. I have not told Al that you were... I've told him that I will have guests, but I did not mention that he has met these guests before, so... I will settle his temper first."
I should hope
so. Silico very quietly says, "Oh, fuck."
Sixel just like kind of like stares at Illicol like,
"Add the yell of the king. Just add the yell
but
of
it's
the
okay.
King.
It'll be okay." But yeah, you you begin walking to the palace. You don't go in the front gate like you have in the past. You actually go out of the Spark District up to the eastern side of the palace. This is actually the eastern. I have it right in my head. And there is like a side gate.
Yeah, I think I see the road from like the spirally area that would like lead right to it.
Yeah, so there is a small gate there, which there are two armed guards, and you're just kind of let in really quick. Like, it's just an entrance. It's an entrance not for like business. It's, you can't just have one entrance and exit out of a palace, of course. But you enter, and through a series of corridors and through a series of gates and checkpoints and stuff before you get to the palace central, then through a series of corridors, as you enter into the dwelling area of the palace, the less like business parts, you notice like a few, there are a couple of like old suits of armor with like different weapons. There are a few old paintings and a couple of, they're statues but they're bust size, so they're like, no, they're not miniature statues, but they're not like, they're not little, but they're, you could hold it. It's, but they're hefty. Like if you hit somebody with it, it would hurt a lot. But probably don't pick up the art piece. various different, like what appear to be members of the noble house of the Stormborn, different Storm Kings. There's one who has like a dire wolf as like beside him, and like you can tell it's a dire wolf because he's like at, like chest level. A few. There are a few like family portraits along the way. Like you notice one of like a very older man with a son, and potentially like the son's wife or something. Like it's like they don't look, they definitely aren't brother and sister. So it could be like husband and wife and like the old king or something. Various different things of that nature, and of course, all of the regalia of the house of the Stormborn with the silver and the gray and the blue. But eventually you arrive at a, you come to the end of a corridor, and there's a big tall window, double panes all the way down, kind of in like the checkered fashion. So there's a bar running through, and then all of the different levels all the way up, and there's a double door on the left hand side of the hallway. There's a page standing outside and two armed guards. This whole time you've been walking, Menelin has just been talking about all kinds of stuff. He has like a lot to say about everything. He points out all kinds of different stuff in the hallways, like the things that we've noticed passing by. He talks about being younger and being in the palace, as he was the apprentice to the former arcanist, to the king. He talks about like him and Al as kids, or at least like early teens, and some of the trouble they would get into. He talks about the early days of Al and Eliza's marriage, as shortly after Al's coronation, and how different everything became in that moment, because it's fine when you're the prince, but then when you become king, like suddenly you can't get a moment of peace. And then shortly after, then he became the arcanist, and neither of them could get a moment of peace. Suddenly they're beholden to everyone. But you do arrive at this area. The page like deferentially like nods to Menelin and says, "Lord Arcanist, shall I announce you?" He goes, "Yes, Alan, please do. But you can call me Min. It's okay. I've known you since you were 7. "Yes, Lord Arcanist, of course, sir." And he like the through a door, and you hear on the other side of the door, you hear, "Your Majesty, the Lord Arcanist is here for tea." And you hear, "Of course, do let him in. No need to leave him in the hallway." In which case, the door opens, and you hear, "Enter, please." And you, following the Lord Arcanist, enter into what appears to be It's a little bit like a library. A little bit like a solar.
We're all just looking at each other nervously.
Yeah. We're yeah.
Yeah. All like,
Want to go see the principal.
But you enter into, it appears to be partially library, partially solar. There is a table. This is not like the war room that you entered before. Sitting in a chair, diagonally at a table, kind of like half reclined, looking over a book of some sort, is Alric the Third, the Stormborn, the king of the Northern Reaches. And he appears in a lot better of a mood than the last time you were here. For the moment. Maybe in this moment he's not as burdened by like his literal job. Like there's nobody like trying to ask about the movements of the military or money flow to the Free City or the, you know, impending doom of civilization. He closes the book and kind of sets aside. He looks up and he goes, "Min, good to see you, my friend. Please, we're having tea wonderfully. Who did you bring?" "Oh, we've met, Min." No, Al, do give me a moment. These gentle people just needed a moment of your time, and they came to talk to me first, and I have vetted them. I know through your description that your last meeting was unfortunate. Do give me just a minute to say that they actually have some very important things to say, and that we're not going to bother you beyond any of that, Al."
Sidebar.
Or Min.
What do we need him for? Guys, help me.
I don't know why we're here.
I feel like we've got everything we need.
Well, I think, like, because, you know, we got a lot of important stuff, and I think it's probably something the king should probably help us with. Hopefully.
I'm just kind of following you guys. Oh, why we're here.
We'll figure it out as we go.
Yeah.
We will.
For the matter, Min brought us here.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
We also Zixil might give him the painting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We'll let him lead the conversation.
That's up to him. Yeah.
Now.
I bow very deeply. Oh. Not a word.
He looks like, "Fine."
I'm in the back sipping some tea.
Where'd you get it?
There's no tea here yet. There's no tea.
I just got
here.
Don't ask where they get the tea.